Friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So today's gospel, it comes from the Mark chapter 6. In the first five chapters of the gospel of Mark, we hear these stories of Jesus. And he's out there in the community, and he's traveling the countryside, and he's healing, and he's teaching. In short, Jesus is embodying and living out what it looks like for the kingdom to come to earth. And all during that time, only once before chapter 6, is Jesus' authority challenged. Comes in chapter 3. And it comes from an unlikely source. Jesus' authority is challenged by his family. They actually say that he's out of his mind. So Jesus is out there traveling the countryside, and he decides to go back home to Nazareth, probably because his family is worried about him. And being like any good Jew of the time, on the Sabbath, he's in the temple and he begins to teach. And at first, the people, they are completely amazed with Jesus' teachings. And then there's this common knowledge that's floating around that he's healed people. But then the questions come. Isn't this guy a carpenter? Wait. Isn't that Mary's son? Wait. Don't we know his brothers and his sisters? And realizing that they know Jesus, they immediately discount everything that he's done. The Bible says they took offense at him. And then Jesus realized what had happened. He said, well, even a prophet is not without honor in his hometown. So in this one story, his hometown showed that their over-familiarity with Jesus, it bred this lack of trust and honor and respect. I wonder if we do that today. Not letting young people in our midst grow up. Looking at young people as if they were still the teenagers and children that we knew. Maybe it's with adults and judging them still on their past, rather than receiving them for who they are right now, today. And what I find amazing about this story is Jesus' response to the whole situation. He doesn't get discouraged. He doesn't stop preaching for a time. He doesn't let those who he grew up dissuade him. The scripture today reads that Jesus then went from village to village. Jesus shook it off. And then he followed it by sending out the 12 to preach and heal and do what he did. See, Jesus, he doesn't spite his accusers or get despondent or stop preaching the gospel. He continues on despite the rejection. See, Jesus understands that there are some who may not be able to hear him. He gets that he's not everybody's cup of tea. And so what he does is he sends out more people. He sends out 12. On a side note, anytime we get visitors here, I talk to them and I say, hey, listen, I understand that who I am and what our church is about, it's not for everybody. And so if you're here and you find that we're not a right fit, which I think we are a fit for a lot of people, but if we're not, then I'll help you find another church. Because the kingdom is bigger than Good Shepherd. And so he sends the 12 out. He sends others out in his place. He sends us out. And I think we're afraid to talk about our faith. I think we're afraid of being rejected. And in an increasing secular society, that's a valid fear. But Jesus shows us here in this story that even he himself was rejected. The Son of Man, the incarnate God, was rejected. We can expect the same. We have to understand that when we follow Jesus in proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, we're going to get similar treatment. We're going to get rejection, but we're also going to get acceptance. Jesus tells his disciples, the one who listens to you listens to me. The one who rejects you rejects me. But the one who rejects me, he rejects the one who sent me. So we have to remember, when people reject the Son of God, when they reject our message of the kingdom of God, it's not about us and them. It's about them and God. See, we have to understand that some people, they may not be able to hear us because of our history with them. I think I find this often with parents and children, parents who are in church attending frequently, and they want their children to grow up in the church, but the children, they can't hear their parents. That's why we need each other. I need you. When my children can't hear me, to raise them up. Renee, I need you. When my daughter needs to talk about something and she can't talk to me, she'll talk to you. We need each other in the church to bring up all of our children, because they're not going to be able to hear from every one of us, but they will hear from some of us. So we're afraid to talk about our faith because people only see some part of our past. They may know us a little too familiar, just like the town knew Jesus. I think the second reason that we're afraid to talk about our faith is, frankly, we're unsure how to do it. What do we say? What is this good news about? Jesus, when he sent out the apostles, he sent them out and he said, only take the basics. Take a staff, one set of clothes, go out, do the work. I think we need the basics, and I'm very fond of this. I couldn't remember if I preached on this before, but I'm fond of it. And it's Henry Nouwen, he talks about this a lot, about using the words in our liturgy as a template for the basics of our faith. And there's some words that I use every Sunday at the communion liturgy. And it comes from the words of institution. Jesus, he took bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it. He took, he blessed, he broke, and he gave. If you can remember that, that's the basics of who we are in our faith. Because we are taken and blessed and broken and given. See, the core, the basic foundation of our faith is that we are taken by God, that we are chosen by God. And this isn't just us personally, but from the foundations of creation, God called you good. And often when we think of chosenness, our minds go back to grade school, to being picked on a team. And when we think of chosenness, we think of being rejected, being the last one, not being chosen at all. But that's not the kind of chosenness that happens with God. You are chosen and beloved as God's child. And we're trying to make other people see that they're God's child. It's not a chosenness of exclusion, but inclusion. You are uniquely loved just as you are. So God takes us, and then God blesses us. The word blessing, it comes from the same word as benediction, and it means to speak over someone. And we all need a blessing, don't we? We need a blessing from God. We need a blessing from pastors, from doctors, from family members. We need people to speak well over us and well-being over us so that we can claim the truth that we are beloved by God. When people bless us with good words, they're telling us the eternal reality about ourselves. We need people to speak well of us, and in turn, we need to never stop looking for the worth, value, and dignity of others. See, we live in a world that constantly tells us that we're not good enough, that we're not pretty enough, that we're not thin enough, that we're not smart enough. And we, as the church, need to be out there in the world laying our hands on people and blessing. You are good enough. You are worthy enough. You are loved just as you are. Because the blessings that we pour out on people, they're not from us. We're speaking the very words of God. We're taken, we're blessed, and we're broken. Now, it's not God who does the breaking in that. It's just the fact that we live in a broken world. We are in a broken system, and part of that is we need to claim our brokenness. Too long do we run away from the problems in our lives or the sins that we commit. We need to own who we are in the brokenness of our situation. We need to share it with each other. We need to receive it from each other. One of the most lovely things that you can do is to listen to somebody's brokenness and not judge them, but just be with them, receiving them for who they are. Because we're all broken. If we weren't, we wouldn't be here. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, it's the sick. In our brokenness, God loves us. So we're chosen, we're blessed, we're broken. But then we are given to the world. God gives us as God's community to the rest of the world so that they can know that they are beloved, that they too are blessed, that they are a part of the community of God. So we become beautiful people when we can share in our words of encouragement, when we can share in a handshake or a hug or a kiss or listening to people in their pain, when we can give sacrificially parts of our lives. One of the most mysterious things about life is that the more that we give of ourselves, the more joy and happiness we receive. And I think that's because Jesus shows us the way. He did nothing but give himself away. And we're called to do the same. So, more often than not, we come together, we share in the words of institution, and they ring out. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus, he took bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body." As Jesus is bread for us, we are bread for the world. So friends, may the Spirit of God fill you with this knowledge so that you may tell others about your faith in the God of the universe. Amen.